Morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. Sermon this morning is on gratitude. Now, you may ask why. Why this sermon title? Didn't we just have Thanksgiving back in October already? We are Canadians, after all. Well, as you are well aware, Thanksgiving was last week in the U.S., and if you have those roots like I do, you'll have friends who have talked about it, maybe family gatherings that you missed. To me, last week, this time of the year, it felt like Thanksgiving because that's where my roots were. Did that influence the direction of the sermon this morning? Likely. However, I was not going to go through with it and have a message about Thanksgiving just simply because it's not a Thanksgiving season. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized, for myself personally, I really need to be working on this grateful attitude. It affects the outlook on life in so many ways, and it shouldn't be just a season. One way to tell if we are truly grateful or not is to look at some stark contrast. How about we look at some characteristics of ungrateful people? I'll give you a list shortly here for us to ponder, but first of all, I want to read some verses that show the real, true importance of thankfulness in our lives. Romans 1, verse 21, because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Pride and ingratitude really go hand in hand, and we could read a whole lot here in the book of Romans on the fallen state of man and how we are so utterly bent on evil and lost without God. But this verse, I believe, tells us something about the importance of gratitude in the hearts of a believer. If we are unthankful, we will lose our relationship with God and our foolish hearts will become darkened. Gratitude will directly affect our view of God. In fact, it really is a rejection of God, and we will look into that more in detail as we go on. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. That verse is speaking of the children of Israel, I believe, and we know how their ingratitude brought them evil and judgment in many different times, and they fell into that sin of ingratitude. Do I personally look at the scope of life with a heart of gratitude? So here's the list I promised you a moment ago. Here is to an ungrateful person, and please don't take it as anything I see in you. However, please challenge yourself and challenge me if you care to afterwards. We are human, and I believe that we face these things in very real ways. Entitled, impatient, no time for others, won't take no for an answer, lazy, consumed by media and information, spiritually unfulfilled, taking the little things for granted, not accountable. Anyone else is to blame, or more to blame than me anyway. Controlled by emotions. No friends, and if so, of the same. Living yesterday and tomorrow, but not today. Hard to please. And I don't think this list really is all-inclusive or that it truly defines ungratefulness. But can you see any kind of thankfulness or gratefulness, the term I'm using mostly, but with any of these scenarios? If I am entitled to everything, then that means I will never have enough. There will always be something else I must have above all my peers and even at the expense of others. I would say that we live in an entitlement society. Maybe that's not fair either because it's human nature. We tend to think we are owed or deserve the American dream, as some would put it. A grateful person will be satisfied with what he has and satisfied with the current situation and actually really appreciate the things that he already has. More is not necessarily better. Less will be used often and appreciated more. If I am impatient, that means I am not thankful for the moment that God has given me. A thankful person lives, breathes, and enjoys the breath of each moment that God blesses him with. A heart of gratitude will see all those things that take so much time or disrupt our normal life. We'll take it as a direction and path that God wants us to take. It will be an opportunity. There was a purpose for that flat tire, for that traffic jam, or whatever that disruption may be. We also show our impatience by our interactions with others, and that is our next point. No time for others. An ungrateful person has a hard time thinking about others. It's all about me. All the things that could possibly go wrong for me, and never once thinking about the next door neighbor, friend, or brother in the church that has or had it way worse than me. A grateful person counts his blessings and seeks to bless others. No comparing. It's not about being less fortunate or less blessed. One goal of a grateful person is to use what he already has to bless others to the best of his ability and for the glory of God. A grateful person has quality time and understanding for others, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Next one on the list, if I won't take no for an answer, this applies to personal relations and also our relationship with God. It will affect our prayers. A grateful person will pray in God's will and for God's will. God knows best. If God says no, we thank him. If God says yes, we thank him. If it's a no, we see it as a yes to something else and God's plan. And in personal relationships, a grateful person will also respect the boundaries of others. How about lazy? There is the aspect of entitlement that we talked about earlier, and it too has something to do with making good use of our time, valuing and appreciating our time. However, there's also the aspect of stewardship and appreciating the gifts that God has given us. A grateful person will appreciate working for what he has. Thankful that God gave the ability to work, to provide for himself, or to help others in some other way. A grateful person will have that sweet sleep that Ecclesiastes talks about. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet. What does consumed by media and information have to do with ungratefulness? Well, it puts us in a very vulnerable position, and not in a good way. Sometimes vulnerable is good, but not in this case. It exposes us to all the world's problems that really have nothing to do with us. Yes, there is information that is helpful, and that can also help us to appreciate and be thankful for what we do have. And we should be aware of the times and the signs. However, when nearly all we consume is the negative and the noisy things of life, it will weigh us down. It will affect our attitude on life. Our focus will likely go away from God, and we'll have a hard time seeing anything good out there, let alone in our own life. After all, isn't the majority of news and gossip generally pretty negative? It's hard to be grateful and negative at the same time. A grateful person will find a silver lining. A grateful person will most definitely prefer to focus on truth and right, which the origin of that is God, God's word, God's people. Sorting the truth from the clutter of noise is difficult. Next one, spiritually unfulfilled. How is your prayer life and personal devotion? When was your last testimony of praise to God for what he saved you from? A grateful person will live a life of penitence. A grateful person will love and appreciate God and everything and show that by the life he lives. If we truly are saved by God's grace and so extremely grateful to be saved from our sins, how can we contain it? Our prayers will be prayers of thankfulness. People will see a joyful countenance. We talked about that in Sunday school. I know I don't do well with expressing emotion while singing and maybe even while preaching. Neither do we want to make a show of things. But are we truly joyful and thankful for what God has done for us? Take that and work it out practically in your life as God directs you. Prayer, singing, and worship will all have meaning for the grateful soul. What are you thankful for? We know we would be grateful for that miraculous cure. We know we would be grateful that we were saved from that head-on collision. We know we would be grateful if all of our debts were paid or we inherited $1 million. We know that if we were on the sinking Titanic and were saved on a lifeboat, we would have been grateful beyond words. We know we would be grateful if that thing we've been praying for years finally would become a reality. But what about the small things? A truly grateful person will be very well aware of the small things. Appreciate the folding of the laundry, the supper on the table, the clean house. And mind you, those aren't small things even, and yet we men take them for granted. A grateful person will appreciate and acknowledge the need and the blessings of seemingly small and overlooked things. The first people to see our ungratefulness are the ones that are closest to us. Our ungratefulness and underappreciation of them is shown by the small things at first. Likewise, to our great God, notice the small things and appreciate them, and the giver. We really could go around the audience here and have each of us give a small thing to be grateful for. But do it at home. Do it for your family. Do it for God. Make it a part of your life. When we talk about gratitude and how it should affect our outlook on life, we may start to think that we never allow discouragement or trouble in life because we should be switching all the negative things to positive things. Be thankful and positive, right? There's a difference, though, between gratefulness and toxic positivity. And if you have a chance, do a little look up on what toxic positivity is. I'm not going to go real deep into it, but it's quite interesting. Toxic positivity suppresses and denies what really needs to be acknowledged. There is a side to it where it will cause us to refuse God's grace. Gratefulness is not living in denial of truth, facts, feelings, or emotions. It is looking and living life with an eternal perspective. A grateful person is an accountable person. Not only do they see their responsibility for themselves and their actions, but they also see the difference that they can make in other people's lives. A grateful person will not blame others for where they are personally, even if they are where they are because of the actions of others. That's a little bit confusing. I'll read it again. A grateful person will not blame others for where they are personally, even if they are where they are because of the actions of others. Yes, someone else's actions or lack of action will affect us in life. But when we in gratefulness understand where we are and why we are here, we are gifted with the choice to make a difference. Quite plainly, we become responsible for ourselves the very moment we understand that. And a grateful person will thank God for that choice. We can change the outlook of our life with a choice, and it starts with gratefulness. Another one on the list was an ungrateful person is controlled by emotion. And please understand that I don't nearly have all the answers to the complexities of our brain, our heart, and our emotional makeup. I guess the point of this observation is that a grateful person has stability in life. God is our governor. That stability is grounded in Christ and the sureness of his word. Through the mountaintop experiences, we don't lose our footing and forget God because of gratitude in our hearts. Even when we are faced with emotional upheaval and we just don't understand and things are rough, we have something solid. We can, in gratitude, reach out to God and thank him for being God. Could we ever thank him for taking us through dark times? We like to thank him for the good times, when we remember. Probably most times it is afterwards that we can actually muster up that thankfulness to God for what he has done to us or with us with the difficult things in our life. Job did it. Job 1, verse 20 and 21. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Next point. Ungrateful people tend to be in a crowd of their own. Well, they would say they have no friends, and quite often they don't get along with people, probably. No one appreciates or loves them, so they would say. And in all fairness, who would want to be around them other than those of the same outlook? But grateful people have the same opportunity to work the same effect on others. Let gratefulness rub off on others. Gratefulness will change not only you, but also those around you. Did you ever notice that ungrateful people talk about today mostly? Maybe not, even with that in mind. And they are negative probably mostly about everything, but it generally has to do with the moment, the negativity of the moment. Today, it's rainy, it's hot, it's cold. I can't wait till I'm older, or for those of us who are older, we can't wait till we wish we were younger, or in other words. And we also can't wait till we have more money. I can't wait till it stops raining. We never used to do it that way. Today just isn't the day for the ungrateful folks. There's always a better moment. Grateful people seize today. They seize the moment and make the best of it. It will make good memories and create blessings for the moment and for the future. It will create purpose and fulfillment. Gratitude does that. You in gratefulness, I in gratefulness. What can we seize today that God has entrusted to us? Are we thankful for this moment, for this opportunity right now? Some days are just pretty big, but seize that moment. It's your opportunity given to you by God. The last one on the list, I believe, was ungrateful people are hard to please. It's just never good enough. You may even do the very thing they ask of you every single time, but the expectation changes. Just not good enough. Well, grateful people give others a chance, and they also appreciate all that they have received. It goes right along with noticing the small things. And as we appreciate the small things in life, we gain perspective in the big things and truly see the hand of God at work. We truly are blessed people and completely at the mercy and love of God. Well, we did not look at many scripture verses yet, but where in the Bible do we turn to for examples of thankfulness? There are many, and there are many more that don't actually say the word thankful, but they show the effects of thankfulness, such as in the Psalms. Psalms is full of that. Joy and praise to God. These are direct results of gratitude to God. I'd like to start with a number of verses calling us to thankfulness. I actually have them written out so we can read them quickly. You can try to keep up if you wish to by turning there. But 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11 and 12, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Ephesians 5, verses 20 and 21. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. In Colossians 4, verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And a few Old Testament verses yet. 1 Chronicles 16:34, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. 1 Chronicles 29:12 through 13, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great, and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Psalm 50, verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Psalm 69, verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And Psalm 136, verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. It just struck me anew as I read the scripture verses in my studies and pondered the thoughts of gratefulness. And now again, as we just read them, did you think about how gratefulness takes the focus off of ourselves? Hence the huge list that we put together of an ungrateful person. We become ungrateful. When we become ungrateful, we lose focus on God and we begin to focus on ourselves, and it immediately takes us down a demoralizing path, a sinful path. A comment on some of these verses we just read. First off, we state the obvious, and we talked about that already, that gratitude will have a right concept of God. Understanding who God is and what he has done for us, we thank him. He is the source of all our blessings. Gratitude should be constantly in our prayers. The gift of salvation, an unspeakable gift, will never grow old. New blessings every single day. We will be thankful for others. We will appreciate and love the input and balancing effect they have on our life. It talks about submitting one to another. In Philippians, it talks about, let your moderation be known unto all men, and the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds. This verse backs up that stability factor we talked about. Thankfulness helps us put things into the right perspective, God's perspective. The Lord is at hand. We also don't have to figure everything out because we are just thankful that God is in control, and it can give our hearts and minds restfulness. It can give them a chance to heal when we are in distress. If we truly allow ourselves to stop and think about the blessings of God, how can we keep from being grateful? And grateful people keep finding new blessings and more fulfillment in Christ with each new day. Some Bible examples we think of for thankfulness. The 10 lepers. Remember that story of how those 10 lepers came to Jesus for healing. Jesus healed them, and then they went on their way just thrilled by the miracle of healing. But needless to say, only one came back and said, thank you, Jesus. And if we are honest with ourselves, we understand that pretty good, I think. Eager for the blessings, but quick to forget and show hearts of gratitude for what God has done in our life. We mentioned Job briefly earlier. He recognized God as the source of all that he had, and he entrusted his life and his all to God. Hannah thanked God for a son, and she in turn dedicated him to God. David was an example, not only in the many psalms of thankfulness, but also in his life. He lived a life of gratitude. Praise God for victories and battles. Praise God for salvation and victory. His personal life. Was all of David's life easy? He had his very dark moments and failures, but he purposed to come through in gratitude towards God. Paul and Silas, in the midst of their imprisonment, praised and worshiped God. So glad to be counted worthy to suffer for Christ. That could not be done without hearts of gratitude. Mary, the mother of Jesus, after learning that she would give birth to the Messiah, said this, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. The Bible is filled with examples of gratitude and the call to gratitude. It is the way to purpose and satisfaction in life. It brings glory to God. How is it in your life? As I said, for me personally, I do not believe I'm grateful enough. I try to have a positive outlook on life most times, but it is more than just a positive outlook. It is a changed heart. It must be a heart of gratitude. It is our view of God, who he is, and what he has done for us. Let your heart be filled with gratitude. Let it overflow, because when we truly do live that life, the blessings will be untold, and we will, with the psalmist, not be able to contain it. In closing, I'd like to read a psalm of David, and you know, it was really hard to know exactly which psalm to read. They all are so inspiring, and it's just, most of them talk about the rejoicing and the goodness of God. The one I'd like to turn to is Psalm 107, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 1. "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathereth them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful work to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filled the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful work to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffered not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. We thank you for all that you have given to us. Help us to have hearts of gratitude. We know that we, in our humanity, have hard hearts. And we pray that you would just help us to have soft hearts and to hear your voice and to be open to whatever you have for us. Pray that you would bless each of us this week as we go forward. Help us to love you. Help us to be thankful. Help us to reach out to others. And most importantly, stay true to you. Bless those who are not feeling well. Bless those who have mountains to face this week. And may we all serve you victoriously. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.